Hello, welcome to another episode of the Art 777 podcast. Pretty much standard episode today, you know. I'm gonna talk about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and then of course I'll talk about the latest big news in comics, and of course I'll do the piece of comics trivia at the end. So, I guess I'll get right on into it. Jump right into it, whichever one, take your pick. Okay, everybody. Of course, had a Hell in a Cell this Sunday. And of course, we'll be talking about Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, as usual. Just gonna kind of go through the highlights, so not on this for too long. Of course, I did get, I'm pretty sure two, I know for sure, three I'm not so sure about, but I think I got it right, on my predictions for Hell in a Cell. Of course, starting off with the kickoff, said if New Day, Big E was, in the match for New Day, I said I expect them to win. Big E was in the match, they won. You're welcome. Well, of course, that's only really good news for fans, or non-fans of Rusev, or if you like them both, but you prefer the New Day. So, anyway, on to, let's see, opening match, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton. Everybody was predicting this, but so was I. I was part of everybody. Jeff Hardy doing something stupid, diving off something very high, and almost killing himself. That's pretty much what happened in the Hell in a Cell match against Orton. But yeah, Hardy with that dive off the top of the cell through the table did not look good at all. Of course, he's taking out a stretcher. I'm sure he's legitimately hurt after that. So, just don't be surprised if that's Hardy's last match. Just saying it right now. Sorry about that, guys. That's my dog barking very crazily. Because he sees another dog, so. Oh, I'm gonna try to get him calmed down. Yeah, I think it worked. Okay, so anyway, the cell is now red. Which I'm not in favor of, like, at all. Hold on. Okay, yeah, good for the moment. So yeah. Not a big fan of the cell being red. I mean, I see why. I know why. It was done, yeah, to change the match up a little bit, but I think it was done the wrong way, to be honest with you. I also get why red, you know, add more emphasis on the hell part of Hell in a Cell. Hold on one moment. Yeah, take a drink. Okay, so, of course, I talked about Hardy going through the cell. Another pretty disturbing part of the match was when Orton took the screwdriver, put it through Hardy's earlobe. You know, he has that earring, you know, with the big hole. Alright, so he put the screwdriver through, dragged down, and twisted his ear. I saw online. So he twisted his ear like it was a Stretch Armstrong. if you know what that is. And if you're really old, if some of the younger listeners, if there are any, if they don't know who Stretch Armstrong is. So, anyway. So, yeah, that was a bit hard to watch. Just really twisted it up, and it was very thin. If you have, a very weak stomach, and, that sort of thing makes you sick, definitely do not look that up on the internet or anything like that. Because, it's, not the best thing to see. So anyway, let's see, on to, Becky Lynch won the title. Very happy about that, big Becky Lynch fan. I'm glad that they have it off Charlotte, it's, I said this a couple episodes ago, and, Charlotte really is the women's division's version of Roman Reigns or John Cena. She's more like Roman Reigns, but, I mean, it's that same type of character, same type of wrestler on the roster, The one never hardly ever loses, gets all the titles, gets all the main event spots, that sort of thing. And it really does get boring after a while. If they put on the same type of match, if they can bury the matches, then I think it might be a little bit more bearable. look at AJ, for example. He doesn't really, he varies the matches, but he makes them really, really good matches. Some of the best matches, of the night, that sort of thing. How long has he been champion now? He hasn't really been given all the main event spots, but, AJ, won a bunch of titles. Not really a bunch, but a bunch for the time that he's been there. Two WWE WWE championships. I think two or three United States title reigns. Fair enough, they did happen close together, but still. That's five different title reigns right there. And one of them has been for, I think, over 300 days now. So, and don't get me wrong, big AJ fan. But he makes his matches worth watching. People really enjoy the matches, and I think that's what sets him apart. He's not as pushed as, say, Roman Reigns or Charlotte. But I think he is at that high-end level where he is, getting a lot of the titles. But again, the difference is people enjoy AJ's matches more than, say, Roman Reigns. Because AJ, I think the main difference is with Roman Reigns' matches in Charlotte's, Cena too, they're pretty much all guilty of this. They will get beaten up for over half the match, come back miraculously, then win the match. And with AJ, he doesn't really do that. It's more of an even contest. And, does the moves that are exciting. Cena, he can do some exciting moves. Recently they've just become like classic Cena now. That diving famouser that he does, put that at the right spot, that could be a good move. Same thing with that avalanche AA. Again, it's one of those moves where, given the right spot, given the right place, you're just like, oh, wow, that was cool. That sort of thing. And, at the Royal Rumble, 2017, when Cena did the Mirror Rope 8 AA. Yeah. Sorry, I'm messing up here. It was the right spot. It had the right place to make it look a bit more. It was a bit more of a moment than, say, like him just doing 5 AAs back to back, you know, that sort of thing. You know, it was. It had a bigger impact to it with the crowd, I think. Or, like, crowd viewers, whatever you want to call it. Than, say, regular AA would have at that moment, you know. Because Cena was trying to pull out all the stops. The regular AA wasn't working, so he took it to the next level. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, hit the move. And, but, yeah, AJ. And I'm not really complaining here. Just want to make. I mean, I guess I am, but it's more of. Like, me. Kind of like, explaining. Like, going into a little bit of detail. Like. You know, I try to make it so even if. Like, some of the people that listen to this podcast. Even with IPWL, you know, I used to do this. You know, you want to make it so, whereas, you want to talk about things that the hardcore wrestling fans, you know, the people that watch the indie promotions and all that stuff, who have been fans for a little while now, sort of thing, and they are just it. Then you have the fans who haven't been watching as long, but want to know more. So they listen to the podcast, stuff like that, you know, and what I like to do, and I know other people do this because I've heard it, is, like, I talk about things that hardcore wrestling fans will understand, but explain it so that the people that aren't as knowledgeable about wrestling get a better understanding. Like, you know, say somebody buys a ticket, goes to their first or second wrestling show, they really like the first one, and everybody's booing Roman Reigns, you know, just for example. And they're like, well, why are they booing him? You know, he's a champ, you know, he's obviously good, you know, that sort of thing. But then, you know, say you listen to a podcast, and they're like, well, you know, people boo Roman Reigns because, you know, he's pushed. You know, and he's the guy, like, the big figure, like John Cena was, you know, he's beaten up over half the match, then comes back and wins, you know, after getting beat up, like, I'd say 60 to 70% of the match, you know, and it's just not fun to watch. It's pretty boring, especially if they do that every single time they wrestle. You know, and it worked with Bruno because with Bruno, people absolutely loved him, and back then wrestling was more legitimate. And of course, with Hogan, things shifted, became a little bit more cartoonish. It wasn't as legitimate. The business got exposed, that sort of thing. All that stuff happened, and Hogan is really where that type of character started to take the turn. Started off good, but then when Hogan went over to, like, WCW, you know, early on, you know, then of course, like, hey, Hogan's in WCW, yay! After winning the world title, I don't know how many times, people were just like, boo, you know, because they were bored of seeing this guy. They were bored of seeing him get his butt beaten, get the crap beat out of him, and come back, do the punches, like, boom, boom, oh, no, you don't, bang, hit a punch of his own, hit another punch, hit the boot, hit the leg drop, you know, and that's really where I started to take the turn. Then it happened to all these guys, really. I haven't seen it. When he first started off, on his way up to the WWE Championship, he was generally enjoyed, like, well-received by the audience. But then, again, started getting into repetition, doing the same thing. Getting beat up over half the match, comes back, wins. Keeps the title. Keeps the main event spot. There with Reigns, start him off with the Shield. Now, well, obviously, you know. Same thing with Charlotte. Start her off NXT, you know. Still then, but main roster is really where is what I'm talking about. You know, start her off with Paige and Becky. Then, you know, of course, she was facing Nikki Bella, who at that point, you know, Divas Champ wasn't really doing much for women's wrestling, and that's when they were trying to move into more of women's wrestlers. And Nikki Bella is a wannabe wrestler. Same thing with Bray. And that's the major problem that I have with them, because they're getting pretty much pushed to the top of the division, but they're not actual wrestlers. They're wannabes. And now Charlotte, okay, that works. But do the same thing over. And a year or two later, she gets booed, because it's the same thing. Now, granted, it took a little bit longer for Charlotte, because towards the beginning, there's more recently where she started doing what Reigns, Cena, Hogan, all of them were doing. Started doing that more recently, but before then, she was making the matches interesting, making the matches worth watching, kind of like what AJ's doing. You know, making the matches enjoyable, you know, not doing following the format that other main eventers are doing, you know, that sort of thing. The top main eventers not sticking to that format, you know, and it worked because the matches were enjoyable, they were good. But then she fell into the repetition, what everybody else was doing, you know, getting beat up over half the match, comes back, wins. So, yeah, that is pretty much, and I've done this over and over again, but it's one of those things where I don't think it can really be talked too much about. I mean, I'm sure there's a breaking point. I'm most likely going to cross it, just being honest here, and I hope I don't. I really don't, but I'm sure I'll find myself doing it every time I talk about Reigns, Charlotte, or Cena. Most likely Reigns and Charlotte. So, most likely Charlotte, now that I think about it, because that's where this mainly starts. I'm sure it started with Reigns once or twice, but it's mainly Charlotte. But, and I'm sure they can put on good matches in that, but, and I'm pretty sure I have seen them put on good matches. It's not like they can't. It's just they're following that format and makes the matches boring. If they could get rid of that format, and I'm not sure if it's entirely their decision or not, but if they do that, then the problem will most likely be solved. Maybe not push them as much, you know. It really is simple. It isn't rocket science. Oh, excuse me. So, anyway. So, yeah, Becky won the title. Absolutely good decision. Right decision as well. I don't think they want two champs booed out of the building. So, you know, Becky Lynch is champ. So, yeah. And, let's see. Oh, and then the Raw Tag Title match started off a bit slow, a little bit boring, then really brought the match, alive. Did some good stuff, there were some nice spots, and this is the one where I'm not so sure about. I think I did predict that Ziggler and McIntyre would retain by a little bit of a dodgy finish, and they did. Ziggler, who wasn't a legal man, got the pin. So, Anyway, good to mention. Becky Lynch and Charlotte's match, that was really well built. It was a slow match, though. Bit of a slow match, but great, good technical match, and it really showed the ring IQ, like the ring smartness, ring awareness of both Charlotte and Becky. More of Becky, because she was the one countering Charlotte's moves. She countered that spear into the roll-up, like into a DDT, got the roll-up pin, that sort of thing. And, you know, she's going after Charlotte's arm, getting, like, weakening the arm to go for the disarm her. And Charlotte doing a very similar thing. You know, trying to weaken Becky's leg, or legs, put on the figure eight, tap out easier. Make the tap out quicker, you know, whichever one, it's really the same thing. But, yeah, it was a well-done match. Wasn't my favorite match, yeah, because I expected a little bit more faster pace, hard-hitting match, but it was well done. I gotta give them credit where credit's due, even though I didn't particularly find it one of the best matches. It was still enjoyable, and, you know, it's more of a match for somebody who's really into technical wrestling, who, probably enjoys more of, like, the amateur wrestling style, which this match, a perfect match for those fans out there, so, you know, let's see, of course there was, AJ and Joe, you know, again, put on a great match. Joe got screwed. The San Antonio screwdrop, sort of. Not really, though. Anyway. So, it's another good match between those two. I'm hoping, like, really hoping that their no DQ match, Super Showdown, really hoping that they go fairly all out, you know, the way Joe's gone after AJ's family, and of course Joe just wanting to beat the crap out of AJ Styles, you know, physically and emotionally. I mean, he's really going after AJ because he's desperate for the title, and that's the story that they've been telling. You know, like, Joe's gone to these lengths for the title, and AJ is starting to snap a little bit because, you know, you got Joe coming after his family, you know, while he still has to defend the title, still has to stay the champ, you know? The story that they've done, absolutely great. The ending for this match, I think, bit screwy, but I do like how, it did lead to no DQ match between the two, which is going to be absolutely incredible. Probably the best match at Super Showdown. It has potential to be match of the night. Of course, match at Hell in a Cell, definitely potential to be match of the night. I would say that they did have match of the night. It was absolutely great. The ending sequence, Joe locks in the cocaine clutch. AJ kind of did what Kairi Sane did at Brooklyn 4. You know, that sort of the same thing. But this time, AJ tapped. Ref didn't see it. Counted 3. Then AJ retained the title. And I do like the tagline that there must be a winner at Super Showdown, like a clear winner. I do like that. So, I mean, I guess it doesn't make too much sense because AJ did win the match. Technically, Joe did, since AJ tapped at 2, so. But either way, you know, I get why they're doing that, you know. And I think it works. Ish. It works ish. If you understand, like, they mean, like, there must be a clear winner, not there must be a winner. That sort of thing. So, I'll say I do hope the they stop doing only screwy finishes for the WWE title matches. And just having, really long feuds. I think, there should be more clear winners and more challengers for AJ, but, I mean, at the same time, though, AJ doesn't really have too many more challengers. Of course, Crown Jewel, he's either gonna face Daniel Bryan or The Miz, but, I mean, so after the whole Joe thing's done, of course, there's Bryan and Miz, Orton, Hardy's gonna be gone for a little while, Rusev, already fought Rusev, I'm not sure if they're gonna give him another chance or not. I think I'm more focused on the United States title for now. I'm sure there's some more that I'm forgetting right now. I'm just gonna look up the SmackDown roster, because why not? But anyway. So, about that. If you didn't hear it, good. If not, or if you did, again, sorry. So, anyway. On to the main event, which was Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, for the Universal title, Mick Foley, special guest referee, it wasn't a bad match. Strowman should be the champ right now, because Foley did count three, but of course, you know, since it's Roman, Andrade, if they build him up enough, he could face AJ. Same thing with Harper, if they build him up enough. Anyway, so then, it wasn't bad overall, but it could have been better. It was definitely, maybe not as bad as that ambulance match. Wait, was the match at Fastlane the ambulance match? Or was that Payback? I think that was that Payback. Pretty sure it was. Anyway, match at Fastlane, probably the best match that those two had. Ziggler and Rollins falling off the side of the cell. Ambrose and McIntyre fighting on top of the cell. I do like how Ambrose went crazy with the kendo sticks. That was a good spot. Enjoyed that. Anyway, sorry about that. I heard something. Anyway, that was probably the only good part of the match. Then Lesnar coming back, did enjoy that. Of course, Foley took the pepper spray. Not sure why, it was a no DQ match, so there wasn't really any need for that. Lesnar kicked down the door, F5'd both Reigns and Strowman. He actually F5'd Reigns on top of Strowman, which I did enjoy that. But there should have been either pinfall or submission because it was no DQ. So, you know, it should have ended in pinfall or submission. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, you had Hardy fall through that table and Orton still pinned him. Even though the ref wouldn't do it at first, but again, no DQ. So, they should have had somebody pin somebody. Like, Reigns on top of Strowman, that should have been the pin. Like, right there. Like, Reigns should have rolled off, it should have stayed there. Had the referee come down, kept the 1-2-3. Roman Reigns, still champ. Which wouldn't really be any different than it is now. So, there just would have been a winner at the end of the match. So, yeah, pretty much overall, Hell in a Cell, enjoyable. I think overall, fairly good show. It wasn't like straight up good, it was fairly good. It was above average. Above average. Not the best pay per view that WWE has done this year. We'll say that. So, on to Raw. Let's see. Oh, McIntyre and Ambrose. Those two, absolutely good match. A great match, actually. I hope those two fight again sometime soon. I really do. They can put on some very good matches. And it works, you know. With them both being hard-hitting, going all out, it works. It really does. Like the characters that they've done for McIntyre and Ambrose, those two fighting, it's great. It really works. Then Ziggler and Rollins fought for the Intercontinental title. I don't like how Rollins seemed less injured than Ziggler. I think they should have done the double countout spot, like have Rollins do like a suicide dive into the barricade, that sort of thing, and like that just did for both of them. Or have one of them hit a big move on the other, and that's it, you know, that's all they have left in the tank. You know, really play the cell, like falling off the cell injury. You know, but yeah, Rollins won, still IC champ. I think for the most part, I agree with that decision. Of course, I always want to see a new champ. Well, almost always, unless they like just won the title. So, like Nakamura, for example, Rousey, for example. Well, I guess she did win the same time as Rollins, but I've already seen Rollins as champ. It was a good title reign overall, I think. But I don't know. I think Rollins is better suited for a world title, I think. Just in ring work, and you know he has the fans behind him, all that stuff. I think he's better suited as the Universal Champ, so. Anyway, the main event, Corbin and Reigns. The match, like, towards the ending, not the actual ending, but, like, towards the ending, probably the most enjoyable part of the match, which was semi-enjoyable. You had Corbin throw the chair at Reigns, make it a no DQ match because he's Corbin being the GM, and of course, you know, no DQ match. The Shield and Dogs of War got involved, you know. I think what should have happened is after that suicide dive. Then Reigns get back in the ring. You know, like, yeah, I got you strong, Corbin, get back up, like a low blow, or maybe turn around for end of day, something like that, and that'd be the ending of the match. But of course, they didn't. Corbin looks like he went for a clothesline, Reigns ducked it, hit the spear out of nowhere for the 1-2-3. I mean, obviously Reigns is going to win, but the way they built it up, it's like they did with Balor. Those endings, Reigns should have lost. I mean, they would have done it to somebody else. But of course, since it's Roman Reigns, you know, Vince pushed him to the moon, basically. Anyway. So, yeah. It's just, if they keep doing these endings that, like, should end the match and have Reigns lose, because it would for somebody else. Like, I'm sure they would do that to AJ or Rollins with the Intercontinental and WWE titles. You know, it just, it puts an even, I think it puts more of a damper on the match that already has a damper on it, because Roman Reigns in world title match, so. And he's defending the title in the main event. So, yeah. Anyway, on to SmackDown. Before that, I think Raw, about average. You know, oh, I forgot to mention, Nia Jax coming back. Yeah, the tag match, I think it was a good tag match. You know, I like that Jax is back. Gives a breath of fresh air into the women's division. Instead of having, like, mainly technical and agile wrestlers, you know, you have Nia Jax, a powerhouse, and you also have Rousey, a legitimate fighter, you know, legitimate wrestler. It adds something new to the women's division. I know Jax has been on the roster for a little while. Of course, she was injured, but, I mean, it adds something different, is what I meant to say. Not something new. It adds something different to the women's division, which, you know, it's always good to have something, like, different in the division. In any division, really. Like, Cruiserweight division, you know, they could use powerhouse, I think. Not just have it be all high flyers and all technical wrestlers. I mean, I guess Buddy Murphy is the powerhouse, but you know, I think they made him into, like, a little bit less agile, more of lifting people up over their heads, slamming them down, sort of like Bobby Lashley, that sort of deal. Oh, back to Raw. I just remembered something else. Elias. Great segment. I know it wasn't for everybody. I got a kick out of that when Leo Rush came out. And Elias goes, whose child is this? I got a pretty good laugh out of that. Elias, great on the mic. Leo Rush, awful on the mic. So, yeah, one promo that was funny to the right audience. I just happened to be part of that audience. And then one promo that was awful. Well, I can see why they paired him with Lashley. They both give pretty bad promos. So, anyway. But, you know, Leo Rush did some flippy crap. Because Cruiserweight. So, yeah, no, don't run. Anyway. So, I think, yeah, I'll move on to SmackDown. Raw again, above average, I'd say. Or, no, not above average, average. I mean, it had its moments, but also had a bunch of crappy moments as well. A bunch of stuff that they did wrong. So, anyway, on SmackDown, let's see, some of the big things that happened. Aiden English turned on Rusev. Aiden cost Rusev the United States title. Distracted Rusev. I think Nakamura either rolled him up or hit the Kinshasa. I think it was a roll-up, though. I'm not entirely sure. Might be wrong. Anyway. So then Aiden English beat up Rusev after the match and said Happy Aiden Day. So I'm sure that's going to be a new feud going forward. Then AJ Styles versus Andrade Cien Almas. I think they had a pretty good match. Of course, AJ won. Samoa Joe came out. Beat him up for a little bit. Then, of course, AJ got the upper hand. Joe went on into the crowd. You know, not a bad segment. Continues the feud. So, trying to think. Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston. That was a pretty good match. I like that neutralizer. The Cesaro did in the match. Great. Like how it just sort of like deadlifted him, hit the neutralizer. That was the end of the match. Good ending to the match. Two, a pretty good match. Two good technical wrestlers. Jeez, it wasn't really that eventful with SmackDown. And then, let's see, NXT. Really, in my opinion, the only highlight was that champion versus champion match. Pete Dunne and Ricochet. Absolutely great. Like, in my opinion, match of the year contender. It was a great match. Sure, there are better matches, but I think, like, out of NXT, definitely up there. I think that was as good as Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. Maybe a little bit better. Not sure. I haven't watched Bate and Dunne in a while from TakeOver Chicago, the first one. But yeah. Absolutely great match. I like how Undisputed Era came out, because either way, it would have been the wrong decision for the champ to lose. Like, Pete Dunne looks like making him the face of the UK division, or the NXT UK, so for him to lose, you know, I'm sure they don't want to have Ricochet going over there. And just continues on this monstrous title reign. Then Ricochet just won the North American title, so I feel a bit wrong to take it off of them so soon. But great match. Great decision at the ending, even though it might not be most favorite decision. It was the right decision. Anyway. So, yeah. That's it for wrestling. I'm going to be moving on to the comics now. Hello, welcome to the comic section of the podcast. Few interesting pieces of news this week. Two big news from Marvel, one piece of odd news from DC. So I guess we'll start things off with Marvel. On the Disney streaming service, apparently Loki and Scarlet Witch are going to be getting their own shows, among others. The others were not named. I did check. All I could find was among others, so. Hold on just a moment, I'm looking up. The fun fact. Okay, I did find a pretty interesting one. Anyway, comes from Marvel. So. Okay, so talking about Marvel. As I said about the Disney streaming service, Loki and Scarlet Witch going to be getting their own TV shows. I think that's a good idea. I have Loki, one of the most popular characters in the MCU. Then Scarlet Witch, who has the potential to be a good character. You know, she's definitely one of the stronger members in the MCU, stronger heroes in the MCU. And I think if they give her own show, that hopefully that'll give them that opportunity to help develop the character a little bit, which I think the character does need something added to it, which I hope this show will help with. And this will be exclusive. These shows will be exclusive to the streaming service. I think they're going to be canon, but I'm not entirely sure. I kind of saw some MCU, so I figured it's going to be canon, but I didn't really go too far into the article, so. Anyway. So the other bit of news is the Captain Marvel trailer got released. It looks like it's going to be a good movie. I'm generally excited for it. You know, even though it looks like it's, even though it's a prequel, set in the 90s, it really doesn't, like, just from the trailer, you know, usually you can get a little bit of a feel for the movie. It doesn't really have that prequel feel. It feels like a regular superhero movie. You know, the trailer looks pretty good. Can't wait till the movie comes out. Pretty excited to see the movie. So, on to the DC portion of the news, which is, just skip ahead. Because this is, so, of course, everybody, I mean, everybody knows about Batman, because Batman, you know, he's the most popular superhero. And I don't even think that's really arguable. I think, he is the most popular because, I mean, for crying out loud, he has his own day. And I'm not making that up. Batman Day was a little, I think, the 15th or the 16th, because the DC streaming service, which is now available, I'm pretty sure the, beta app is out, or something like that. The, not the final version of the app, but it's, like, past the beta, it's, like, in between. Anyway, but anyway, so that got released on Batman Day, so, I mean, and there isn't a Superman, Iron Man, Captain America, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, none of them have their own day, so, I mean, you know. Anyway, so, the Black Label comic book series, comic line that DC is doing is taking its popular superheroes but making more adult, mature comics. So, you know, gotta be a lot more swearing, gotta be a lot more blood, and of course, the sexual content. So, in the new comic series that they did for Batman, forget what it's called, you see Batman, aka Bruce Wayne, nude, and they blurred out his junk. somehow that is the biggest news article when you look up DC Comics. Like, that's, like, I'm not sure, because I didn't really look into the articles, because I did not want to read about Batman's private area, because I would not want to read about anybody's private area, just because, again, it's their private area. So I'm not sure if the general tone is angry, like, oh, come on, it's supposed to be unfiltered, or if it's just like, thank you for saving us from this, from saving us from seeing Batman's lower area. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I can see both sides. I'm definitely on the side of thank you, because I do not want to see that. But at the same time, it is supposed to be unfiltered, and by them doing this, it's kind of like backing up on it. You know, like, well, it's for the most part unfiltered, but yeah, this, like, you know, in my opinion, like, that stuff does not really have its place in comics. It's just more of, like, some comic series, okay, yeah, it would have its place, like, a mature Deadpool comic line, like, that would obviously have its place in there, because Deadpool, like, if they made him, like, in the movies, then that would probably be in there, you know, but, you know, I don't know, it's a weird one, so. Okay, so, on to a piece of trivia after talking about that awful, awful bit of news. Alright, so this is about Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't want to say accurate, I forget what the word is, but it's mainly focused on Star-Lord. So, according to the Nova Corps, you know, everybody knows what Nova Corps is. If you saw Guardians of the Galaxy, you'll know. Yes, they have a total of all the crimes and all the killings and all that stuff. So, they have a record of everybody that Star-Lord has killed. So, I'm going to give you a hint. It is 6 digits. So, with that in mind, can you guess how many people Star-Lord has killed? And at the 10-minute mark, now I will give you the, about, I'll give 45 seconds on this one. So, 3, 2, 1, have at it. Okay, did you guys get it? Well, about to find out. So the answer is, about 350,000 people Star-Lord has killed. So there you go. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And I will see you guys for the next podcast episode.